said to Brother Aldridge, one of the big problems in our lives is that we have learned to lie to ourselves about ourselves and believe it. The Bible said, and be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. That is a command of God. Outside of this Bible, I've read more on the subject of revival and the Holy Spirit's ministry than any other subject. When I pastored, I had men in it. I'd ask them on purpose, how can a man be filled with the Spirit of God? I asked Dr. James Crumpton, Dr. Lee Robertson. I had Dr. Seitler with me in a morning Bible conference, and I said, Dr. Seitler, how's a man filled with the Spirit of God? All of them gave good answers, but here's what he said. He said, Brother Joe, if a man wants to be filled with the Spirit of God, and as far as he knows, everything's right between he and the Lord, he needs to get alone with God and ask God to fill him by faith and get up believing it. Don't believe you can improve on that. Some folks want to make it sensational, but I'm going to tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God without being filled with the Word of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you take on the character of God. Amen. It was in John chapter 12. I'm not going to preach there, but it was in John chapter 12, in verse number 21. The Bible said there were certain Greeks that came up to the feast day to worship. And they said to Philip, sirs, we would see Jesus. Could I say, that's what it's all about? About him. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Stephen's being stoned to death, and he said, I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. John said, I saw him seated at the Father's right hand. John said, I saw him walking among the candlesticks. I saw him hanging upon an old rugged cross, dying, paying my penalty, suffering all hell for all sinners, for all eternity, that we might be saved. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to the lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine into him. And then he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It'd be a good day for you to be reminded that you're not working for him, you're working with him. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I want to share a few thoughts from Ephesians, chapter number 3. How many of you in the building tonight could say, I know that God has called me to preach? Amen. You know God's called you to preach? Thank you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, I want us to look at verse number 7 and verse number 8 in particular. And please keep your Bibles close. The Apostle Paul said, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? If you'll back up with me just a page or two to the first chapter of the book of Galatians. In Galatians 1 verse 15, Paul again said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Here's why he called it. "To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." I'm interested in this text in Ephesians 3. In verse number 7 and 8. I want to talk about being a true man of God. Could I say this? God has never called a man that's not qualified. We're being eat up in our so-called fundamental ranks about those who, I've had them say, "Well, what do you think? It doesn't matter what I think. It's what God said." And by the way, could I say, there's more than just a matter of just being the husband of one woman. Could I say to you, there's a lot more in the qualification, but our problem's this. I had a peck of wood down in West Florida who said to me, "I know I can't," he'd been married two times, and he said, "I know I can't be a pastor, but what do you think about me being an evangelist or a missionary?" I said, "Gentlemen, it doesn't matter what I think. Are you listening to me?" I said, "Do you think God has a higher standard for a deacon in a local church than he does for a missionary or an evangelist?" But I tell you, the qualifications are all the same, be it pastor, missionary, or evangelist. Amen. You're welcome. So I hear folks say, I hear folks say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't invite that double married man into my pulpit, but if he calls me to preach for him, I'll go preach for him." I want to say, hey, no, I'm not going either. The Bible said in First Timothy 5 and 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be thou partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure." Saying God has some qualifications for the man. Amen. And so notice when we back up to the book of 1 Corinthians, we'll just kind of get started here. And notice when they 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And he said in this in verse 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." God doesn't call this weak wrist. Oh no, God calls men. Can I say, if it ever dawns on you, what a privilege it is to have the hand of God upon you. It was John who said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There was a throne of God before him, the voice of God behind him, and the hand of God upon him." Amen. And he said, "I'd like to tell you about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world." He talks about the worship of God. The Lamb of God, chapter 1, 2, and 3. He talks about the worth of the Lamb in chapter 4 and chapter 5. He talks about the wrath of the Lamb in chapter 6 through 18. He talks about the wearing of the Lamb. Hallelujah. In chapter... amen and amen. Chapter 19 and 20. And it talks about the wife of the Lamb. Chapter 21 and 22. It's all about the Lamb of God. Slain before the foundation of the world. He who knew no sin became sin for you, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh yeah. Somebody, the hand of God. I say this. The Apostle Paul had a low consideration of self. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I've met some young preachers along the way that kind of gives this idea that they're going to clarify all the questions and tell us old fools how to do it. I read in that same book there, the Bible said, when a man thinketh himself to be something, he has nothing. He said unto me, who am less than the least, I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? Low consideration of self, lofty conception of the Lord, loving concern for the saints, and he's conscious of his human inadequacies. It's not to what I can do. Oh no, I'm a failure. I miss the mark. But I'm telling you, God's not a failure. God's still able to do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask of him. He's conscious of his human inadequacies. He's conscious of his holy responsibilities. And so he's going out to do what? Preach the gospel. He said, we preach Christ. I was talking to a good friend of mine who wanted me to preach in a church up in Virginia. And he said, I know you'll help them because you won't go up there and preach on the kind of shoes they wear. Could I tell you, I got more to say than to preach on shoes. I just thank God I got a pair up, baby. Amen. So if you back up, let me look at this. You preach this sometime. Psalm 134. Psalm 134. He said, when I find it, Psalm 134. He said, bless ye the Lord, all ye. What's that next word?
Servants.
And so you got to remember who you are. You're a servant. He said, well, there's some folks that they want all the accolades and they want all the titles. And they want, no, I tell you who we are. We're just sinners saved by the good grace of God. We got what we deserve tonight. We'd all be in hell with gasoline breeches on. I'm thankful for the grace of God that brings salvation. He said, remember who you are. Then he said, servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Just remain at your post. Stay put where God put you. I've tried to help some younger preachers that they can't be helped. Because you can't help folk who don't want help. And there's people that you invest in and they break your heart over and over again. I'm saying to you, it's important. This meeting is a great start. And it's an important meeting. And the potential that's wrapped in this building tonight could turn the world upside down if we get our priorities right. Remember why God's left us here. He calls us servants. He said, remain at your point. Remain at your post. And then he said, rejoice in the Lord and receive the blessings. Amen. How wonderful it is. A servant's poverty. He said this. He said, I'm woe is me. And back to Ephesians 3, he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul recognized, and by the way, before God, we are nothing. We are nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. We're nothing but hell-deserving sinners, but God in His mercy and God in His grace reached way down in that horrible pit and lifted us up out of the mire and clay and placed our feet upon the rock and established our going and put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God and say, oh, what a Savior! Oh, what a God! Oh, what a responsibility we have! I'm going to tell you this, gentlemen, when you stand at the beam of judgment of God, you're not only give account of what you did, but you're going to give an account of what you could have done. And when you stand there, there'll be tears of regret over misplaced treasures, over misused talents, over a misrepresented Lord. I'm saying to you, I like what Dr. Stent Ballou said when he said, I want to do what I can, so that when I cannot, I not wish I would have what I could have. How important it is to be doing what God's called you to do. And so egotistical pride has been shattered. Self-esteem has been nullified totally. Paul refers to the attitude toward himself. He talks about it in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is my confession. He said, it's a wonderful thing to realize that he who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so he refers to his attitude towards self. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. That's his great confession. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, nevertheless, for I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's able to do what? Keep that. I would say, I'm not climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Oh, no, no. I'm saved by the good grace of God. I'm on the way to heaven. Why? Because of the amazing grace of God Almighty. He said, I am confident that He's doing something in me. Oh, yes. He said, I'm confident in His activity. It's an infinite work. It's an inward work. It's an incessant work. And He's working on us. But He said, I'm confident in His aim. His aim is to conform me to the image of His dear Son. He said, I'm confident in His ability. What He starts, He'll finish. And then he comes to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. So he not only had a great confession and a great confidence, but he had a great conclusion. One thing to start right, another thing to finish right. Brother, there's those who've been shipwrecked on the sea of life because they got their eyes off the Lord and they got to thinking about popularity, wanting to be recognized. Oh, yes, I've been in those meetings where someone would come and get mad with the moderator of the meeting because it wasn't called on to preach. It might have been God just called you to listen that day. And I echo what Brother Aldridge said. Some folk have the idea that just because you're a young preacher, you can't help others. I say to you, if you bathe it in prayer, you get in that book. Listen, you can help me. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take some notes down. I'm going to let God help me through your ministry. So I believe this. I believe it is God who starts the fire. And it's God the Holy Ghost who fans the flame. My pastor said to me when I surrendered my life to the Lord, that night in October 1966, in a mission conference, I went forward and I said, sink or swim, survive or perish, I give you my all. I want to say to you, I have no regrets. Amen. It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven, but praise God. Are you listening? It's not a solo, it's a duet. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So he has the right attitude toward himself. If you write this down, remember forever, it'll help you. My pastor gave it to me when I asked him what he thought God wanted me to do. I praise God for a pastor, but my orders didn't come from just the pastor in that respect. It comes from higher up. So I went to him to talk to him, and he opened his Bible and said, well, let's see what the Bible said. Every time I go, he'd say, let's open the Bible and see what the Bible said. And then he said, Brother Joe, the desires and the aspirations of your heart, if it is to honor God, God put it there. Yes, sir. The devil does not do that. Right. He said, now here's how you can tell whether it's of God or not. Yes. If it's of God, it'll be there today. It'll be there tomorrow. Right. It'll be there next week. Yes, right. It'll be there next month. The intensity might not be as great one day as the other, but it'll be there. So I'm running a printing press. And it seemed like every time the cylinder would turn over, God was saying to me, I have something more. I have something more. I have something more. And I said, dear God, if you got something more, I'd sure like to know the more. Amen. So I went back on Monday night, and the man of God who'd been in the Chad of Africa for 45 years preached on Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And God gave me the answer to my more that night. I want to say to you, that was back, hey, got saved over 61 years ago. God called me in 66, but when I woke up this morning, God said, I still got something more. I got something more. I got something more. I said, hallelujah. I want to know the more to do the more. And so he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. No self-esteem, no conceit. Paul relates his attitude to his brethren. He said, I'm less than the least of saints. I'm the lowest. I'm the minimum. I'm the undermost. I'm the smallest. I'm at the bottom of the bottom. By the way, we don't hear much talk like that today. They said, well, let me tell you about where I went to school. Let me tell you about where I preached. By the way, can I say to you, there's none in this building that's worthy to stand in anybody's pulpit. We are here tonight by the good grace of God. When God saved us and God called us and God confirmed in our soul, this is what I want you to do. So I just, someone said, how old are you? I said, I just turned 79 and a half years ago. But I had people say to me, when are you going to slow down? When are you going to quit running up and down the road and spend time with your grandkids and enjoy life? I said, we must have an understanding. I'm not doing what I have to do. I'm doing what I want to do. Amen. It's a big want to. Amen. I want to do what God has for me to do. So I hear, I counseled with a man last week, and he said we had called a pastor, and he was just part time because he had another job, and said we started him at $50,000. And so he, his part time job played out, and so he said we raised him another $30,000. So we was paying him $80,000, and said he got to complain about not being able to get the insurance. So we gave him another $10,000. So that's $90,000. And the preacher has taken on a full time job beside that. I'm going to say to you, there's something loose up here between the ears. It's probably a vast empty space. We're not in it for the money, I say to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? I'd preach a lot of places, and I'd pay them to let me preach. I'm grateful to God for the way God takes care of us. Had 24 meetings canceled last year, and when I filled out my income tax, there was very little difference in 2019 and 2020. I said, blessed be his name. God! God saved me. God called me. And God sustains me. Paul records his natural state before God as being nothing. But I want to remind us tonight that God can use nothings. Paul was ready to say with Job, I'm a vile man. Maybe say with Jacob, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. Or maybe with David, I'm a worm. Or with Isaiah, I'm unclean. Or with Peter, I'm a sinful man. How's the humility department in your life? Notice what he said back in that 8th verse again. Unto me who am less than the least. He didn't say I'm the least. He said I'm less than the least. And brethren, could I say to you, if you keep that attitude in your heart, I believe God will use you. I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin. Had Dr. Lakin several times. I heard him pray over a young man. Here's what he said. He said, dear God, I pray that you'd keep your hand upon this young man. I believe he will honor you. That's a mouthful, buddy. And I'm telling you, that's what we're to do. We're to honor our God. It comes back to this. The servant's power. He said, notice with me again. He said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? It's grace given. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yes. Although it was true that Paul could say, I am the least of all saints, and less than the least of all saints, and he could say, I'm the chief of the sinners, yet he could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's dependent upon the Lord. Paul was bold to speak about the grace of God. He bathed his soul with the grace of God. He bolstered, he was bolstered in every task by the grace of God. Paul was bothering the devil by his preaching of the grace of God. I wonder if you're bothering any. Paul was a partaker of the grace of God. Possessor of the grace of God, wasn't saved by works, good or bad. He claimed no personal merit in his salvation. Amen. It was the provision of grace. Yes. Peter writing, he said, he's a God of all grace. Amen. And Paul writing, he said, now, he talked about the gospel of grace. Yes. In Ephesians 1 again, he talked about the glory of his grace. Amen. He said in Romans 5, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for grace. Ruth's out yonder in the field. And she's expecting grace. And the next day she experienced grace. And she's expressing grace. It's kind of like that woman of Samaria that got saved by the good grace of God. She went into the city and said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this a Christ?" The grace of God that has brought us thus far will take us all the way home. The Apostle Paul realized where it came from. If I could have picked one note and summed it all up tonight in my life and your life, it would have been Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come." What's the next word?
Upon you.
You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be. We preach do. He preaches be. How important it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I say this. I claim no authority save by the Word of God. But I believe that's the missing note among our fundamental rights. We know about the command, but we do not know too much about His fullness in our life. Had Dr. James Crumpton with me, great man of God. Dr. Crumpton liked Coca-Colas. He liked it with just little chips of ice in it. And he was illustrating one night about being filled with the Spirit. And he said, if I had a glass of Coca-Cola, fill right up the word to use, the tippy top, and you jostle me, guess what would come out? And everybody in the crowd said, Coca-Cola. And he said, if you're filled with the Spirit of God and someone jostles you, profanity won't come out. So what's in the well comes up in the bucket. If all of us, and I say all of us, I'm not preaching down to you, I'm preaching to all of us. If we'd learn what Dr. Lakin used to say, I heard him say this at the chapel service. He said, brethren, you'll have to take time to be holy. And you're going to have to take time to know God's fullness in your life. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of our God.
Yes, sir.
And so I see this, the servant's power, the grace of God. He's a protector of the grace of God. And that it was the provision of grace that sustained him in his service. When God calls you, He enables you.
Amen.
Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There was a plentitude of grace. In the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Lord, Paul besought the Lord three times that He removed the thorn in the flesh. And the Lord basically said to the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I'm going to give grace sufficient. So there's some things greater than the thorn. The will of God is greater than the thorn. Word of God's greater than the thorn. Plan of God's greater than the thorn. But all we see is a thorn. Without the grace of God, we're helpless. There was a plenitude of grace, a grace for desperation. He knew the maximum of God's grace and depended on it in every area of his life and service. He knew it was a purpose of grace to take him home.
That's right.
One of the dearest preacher friends in this world checked out to Glory 7:30 Wednesday night. The Lord willing, I'll have the memorial service in a few days. But I heard Dr. Taylor preach so many times, he'd preach on no more sea. He talked about the land of no mores. I said there's no more sickness, no more separation, no more heartaches, no more problems, no more COVID, hallelujah. I'm the land of no more. But Paul was looking to that place. Looking to that place. The purpose of grace. We're saved by His grace initially. That's our initial sanctification when we get saved. But then there's a progressive sanctification. And that is according to our obedience to the Word of God. And there'll be a permanent sanctification when He shall appear. We shall be like Him. So the purpose. I want you to read that verse with me again. He said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Here's why it was given. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That I should preach. So God's purpose for him, it was to preach. To preach. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, brethren, if God has called you to preach, don't stoop to sell cars. I think we've lost our pioneer spirit among church work today and mission work. I remember those fellows who had the burden of God to start a work that would get a job and go out there and work, and at the same time they're trying to build a church and build a church. But now today we've got to have it all figured out. While I'm passing by, I want to say my little thoughts about the indigenous church. I believe it's biblical. I don't believe God called us to produce welfareism. And the same God that blesses the tithes and offerings in America will bless it in the Philippines, will bless it in Japan and around the world. And so it's the text was a personal purpose that I should preach. It's related to Paul's career. It was stated related to God's call upon his life. And God doesn't call every man to preach. But it did call Paul. I thought I'd register tonight. He called me. Somebody said, well, I don't know. You don't have to know. Bless God, I know. Amen. That's when I say I got saved, June 14th, 1960. So I don't know about it. I tell you, somebody who does know, the Holy Ghost knows, because he said, amen. I was there when it happened. It's the Holy Ghost of God that did the drawing. The Holy Ghost that did the birthing into the family of God. The Holy Ghost that enables me to live a doctrinal straight life. It's the Holy. Are you listening? It's the Holy Ghost that fit us for service. And when you get fitted for His service, you will never fit in this world again. It's a powerful purpose. Powerful purpose. It has to do with the purpose of preaching. Absolutely. Give me preaching. Now I know there's a place for teaching. And there's some folks, you know, that make some brash statements about teaching. But God called us to preach. We're to preach the Word of God without compromise. And I'm not a part of that recovering crowd either. I never got over the first blessing. Amen. And when they start saying, I found some errors in the King James Bible, they're crippled too high for crutches. It has to do with the purpose of preaching. God has a purpose for preaching. that men might be saved. But God wants you strengthened. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge. It is to save them that believe. Preaches conveying divine truth through the spoken word with a view of persuasion. Preaching is God's essential for saving men. Don't believe you get saved without the word of God. Don't believe you get saved anytime you want to. Don't believe you'll ever be saved unless you want to. Somebody said, are y'all in the building tonight? Somebody said, I don't know if they know what they're doing coming down here and say, I want to be saved. You mark it down. Anytime anybody has any interest in God, God the Holy Ghost has already worked in that heart. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so is a powerful purpose. So preaching is God's essential for saving men. And can I say preaching has been neglected? I know some churches that because of the COVID, they haven't had open services in well over a year. I know some is having just one service a week. I want to say to you, if you miss church long enough, you'll get to where you won't miss it. And live stream's not a substitute for the local church. The text speaks about a general purpose about a broader purpose regarding preaching. The word preach means to announce the glad tidings. And by the way, we can all share that. While we're coming past this, let me say this. When I was a young Christian, I heard mission leaders say things like this. They'd say, you don't need a call to go to a mission field. You already have a command. And it confused people. Barnabas and Saul was in the church down at Antioch. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Are you listening? The need might play a part in it, but no, there's got to be a call. And if you're not called, you won't last. So there is a general call for every blood-washed child of God. We're to be witnesses. But thank God there is a specific call. That day when God confirms in your soul, it's not something else. It's this right here. This is the more I've been trying to tell you about. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to serve. See? So we can share in that whether we're preaching from the pulpit or an open air in a jail somewhere, giving out a tract or a book or personal witness to a needy soul. We're all included in doing it, declaring the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all should do it. It's our duty as servants of the Lord. And again, we need preachers. And I please don't misunderstand this, but we need preachers that can preach. Book review's not going to help much. Oh no, it's opening this old black back covered book and say, thus saith God, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their treasure. Don't be afraid to preach and preach and preach again. This is Peter said, God commanded us to preach unto the people.
Yes, sir.
Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. God sent him down into the desert and he preached Christ there. Acts 9:20, Saul preached in the synagogue. Acts is a book of preachers. And Acts is a book of preaching. We need preachers who can preach. And we need churches that need preachers. So, in this day and time, I'm hearing, and they said, we're without a pastor. We'd like a recommendation. I'm fearful Here's why. I'm glad you asked why. Here's a why. Because there's a lot of fellas who'd like to have a preaching station. But they could care less about being a pastor. And so I'm not recommending many of these days. I know some churches that need pastors. But I'm saying we need preachers that can preach. And by the way, you don't do it in your strength anyway. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now you got safety belts on? Paul said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Oh no, you said, I've got to be one. No, no, no. Until you're willing to be a part of one, there won't be any blessing. We folks like to hear their names called and they like to be recognized. But I tell you, if your name is never called, if you're never recognized, if you're doing what God called you to do, don't hang your head. Just keep on keeping on. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your hand upon the plow and your eyes upon the goal. There's a lost world that needs a message. You see, in early days, the Bible schools and seminaries produced preachers. Now they're producing religious educationalists, social workers, education directors, psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors and jack of all trades. But they're not producing preachers. By the way, if you wasn't a preacher before you went, you won't be one when you get out. It's not being a preacher by name only or by ordination, but by the divine confirmation of God. Somebody said, I told him, man said, I was called a preacher. He said, if you do anything else, just do it. No, I want to encourage preachers to follow the Lord. But you're not following mom and dad. You're not wanting to be in the ministry because it's because of the notoriety. Because of money. You do what you do to please God. Please him. The servants perish. Paul said, I'm to preach among the Gentiles. Paul said, I am to preach among the Gentiles. Who decided that? God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Paul had a special parish among the Gentiles. He's a Hebrew. God wanted the heathen to hear the gospel. And God wants all men to hear the gospel today, Jew and Gentile alike. Paul's heart was God's missionary purpose. Paul heeded God's call to that purpose. He was obedient. Paul was hindered and Paul was hurt. You read it in the book of Corinthians. Paul was greatly helped on his mission along the way. He said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. So we have a personal responsibility.
Yes, sir.
To our family, to those we work with.
Yeah.
We also have a responsibility to the world.
Right.
But I've been trying to encourage folk in your efforts to get the gospel to the world. Don't forget your Jerusalem.
Right.
So if we don't build up the home base, not going to have a foreign. I say, God wants the gospel to be given to all men, to all nations in the world. And we see folks have departed from God, living in open sin. Their destiny is hell and darkness without a shepherd. The proclamation, he said, I'm to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Paul was to proclaim, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. In chapter 3, he speaks about the unsearchable riches of Christ in verse 8. The unknowable love of Christ in chapter 3, verse 19. The unending glory of God in Romans 3:20, Ephesians 3:21. So the wealth of the believer, oh, how rich is my condition. I'm rich in Him. The warfare of the believer, the riches of His grace, riches of His love, riches of His mercy, riches of His glory, and the unsearchable riches. The riches are to be declared. He speaks about that in the earlier chapters of the book of Ephesians. And again, these riches are desired. We should know them, should desire them. Paul prayed two prayers. He prayed that we may know Him.
Yes.
And he prayed that we may know the love of God. These riches must be developed, and the riches must be demonstrated.
Yes. Yes.
I'm grateful for you, young preachers.